Well, welcome to Advent. Nothing feels more Christmassy or preparing for Christmas than a passage about the end of the world, right? This first week of Advent kicks off a sort of strange season of paradox, a now and not yet understanding of God and the kingdom of God. In Advent, we stop and we recognize that we are people who are waiting. We are between the two comings of Jesus, where we can trust that God has kept the promise to come once and will therefore keep the promise to return again and to see the kingdom fully realized on earth. But we're not there yet, and so we wait. And while we wait, we're called to keep awake in Advent, to stay alert, to pay attention, because this in-between time is somehow also laden with the presence of Emmanuel, God with us, who beckons us to join in the work of that kingdom. And yet this time of waiting, this Advent season, starts with a text that makes us uncomfortable and maybe even nervous. It doesn't feel all that comforting. And to make matters even more confusing, this week, as we heard, is often called the week of hope in Advent. Because how can a story about distressed nations and roaring waves and fear and foreboding and shaking heavens not fill us with great hope? Well, perhaps the most important place to start for us is a quick reminder, because we heard a very similar text just a few weeks ago. Pastor Josh preached on, and he shared that these types of stories are written in a very popular apocalyptic style of literature. It's a very specific kind of writing with a very specific purpose, to provide hope to the church during a time of oppression. And he also reminded us that despite more current trends and beliefs, apocalyptic writing is not a secret code meant to be deciphered to figure out the end of the world. In fact, this text in and of itself sort of proves that. Because actually, if we remember, this gospel was written 80 or 90 years after Jesus' life and death. And so even though the words have Jesus saying, this generation will not pass away before seeing all of this play out and seeing the return of Jesus, even the first readers of this text from the generation after him sort of prove that to be untrue. So that next generation might be just as confused as we are, and yet, that does not mean that there is not truth in this text or that Jesus' words do not ring less true. In fact, I think it makes his words all the more universal, all the more important and timeless. Because if this text is not actually about the end of the world and Jesus' return, what is it about? It's about those times in our lives maybe that feel like the end of the world. Jesus reminds us that brokenness, evil, tough circumstances are a cyclical part of our world. None of the events that are mentioned in apocalyptic writing are really new or unique to any one time. And he makes it clear that none of us are exempt from these. These things will not just happen to some, he says, but it will come upon all on the face of the whole earth. It's unavoidable. We have all and will all experience painful events in our lives. There will be a diagnosis, a broken relationship, a disaster, a loss of job, loss of your beloved, loss maybe even of yourself. There might be betrayals, addiction, abuse. There will be setbacks and disappointments. The difficulty of those things, the difficulty of this text, is the realization that much of our life is out of our control. And sometimes that feels like the end of the world. But it's not the end of the story. Jesus continues on with a parable. He says, you know how when you see the trees start to sprout their leaves, you know summer is near? Or maybe if he were speaking to us today, he'd say, do you know how when you see the pencils and the crayons and the backpacks at Target, you know it's back to school season? Do you know how when the weather gets really unpredictable and you think that your allergies are going to kill you, then you know you've arrived back in St. Louis? Do you know how when you see a rainbow in the sky It's a reminder of God's promise to take care of us. In other words, these are all obvious signs about something that we collectively know. In the same way, Jesus continues, when it feels like the end of the world is happening, take it as a sign. Collectively know. It means the presence of Emmanuel is there, God with us. Now, to be clear, Jesus isn't saying that you have to be excited about difficulty. He isn't saying that you have to be grateful for hardship. He definitely isn't saying that God is causing your pain. But he does mean that God is often most fully seen and known by those who are suffering. It just sort of happens that way. Because in the form of a poor, vulnerable refugee baby, in other words, the lowest of the low, God chose once to slip into our skin and join us in this crazy world. And through that baby, through that person, God chose not to be wealthy or famous or live an easy, carefree life. God chose to dine with losers, to love enemies, to bridge divided communities, to heal the sick, to stand with the forgotten, even to die. God came straight to the source of our pain because that is where we needed and still need God the most. And God still chooses to show up in those places over and over. So Jesus tells us that when we see the world crumbling around us, we can lift up our heads because it's a sign that Jesus, our redemption, is nearby. And that's a very simple sounding instruction, easier said than done, but it's very specific and important. Jesus says that when the world feels like it's falling apart, others will most likely be spiraling in fear because that's sort of our nature, and it will be tempting for us to do the same. But if in the midst of all of that, we can lift our heads, if we can lift our gaze just momentarily above the chaos, if we can step back long enough to see a bigger picture, that is our best chance to see God, maybe even to tangibly experience God. Because if this season and the next tell us anything, it's that our God is nothing if not incarnational. We are a people who need the physical. We need that concrete evidence of love. Lately, my 3-year-old has been reminding me of this a lot. Every single day, since we told her we were pregnant, she's been asking to see baby brother. And by see, she means that she wants to touch him. Because looking at a bump is not enough for this kid. She wants to get her tiny, ice-cold hands under my shirt and onto my belly to be as close as possible to him while she talks to him. She wants to hold him, which usually comes in the form of awkwardly squishing my unsquishable midsection, because the touch is so important to her. She understands that we are a people who can't just get by on words. We need incarnation. And so God shows up to us incarnationally. In the midst of fear, in the midst of the uncontrollable and unknown, in the midst of unrest, God chooses not just to be present nearby or to just speak, but to be tangibly present, as tangible as tiny hands on a pregnant belly, as tangible as bread and wine, as tangible as water, or the loving hand of a friend laid on your shoulder gently, the hug of your child, an act of kindness shown to you, dishes of food passed between hands, labors of love shared alongside neighbors, a handshake of peace between the two who had once been estranged. If we can lift our heads above the fray, even for a moment, we will catch glimpses of this tangible evidence of God all over, and it will help us to stand stronger in those times of trial. So I'm going to invite you this morning into a prayer practice that might help tone those head-lifting muscles of ours. It sounds really odd, but if you are willing to be brave with me for just a few minutes, we'll give it a try. I'll invite you to close your eyes and bring to your mind that thing in your life that might feel like the end of the world, or at least the thing you're struggling most with. If you can stand it, sit there for just a moment. And then see if you can pull your attention out just a little further from the situation. Notice more people around. Notice what else might be happening. Begin scanning the whole scene as if with an outside eye. As you lift your gaze just above the situation, wonder to yourself, where is God present in this? What or whom does God look like here? Is God still, or is God moving? Is God silent, or is God speaking? How is God acting? Is there anybody else that you want to pull closer in towards God's presence to invite that love to flow between you and God and this other? Enjoy resting in God's presence. You might even ask God to speak a word to you or show you something new you hadn't noticed before. And as you open your eyes, know that this is a place you can return to anytime. It may feel like the end of the world, friends, whatever you are going through today. But in the season of Advent, God reminds us in some ways it is just the beginning of a new thing. Let us lift our heads that we might see our redemption. The God who came for us once, who will come again, is here with us now, Emmanuel, bringing hope. Thanks be to God.